Well, I'm really happy to have you on the line. If you're just tuning in, Will Ackerman is with me, and we're going to be celebrating his brand new album, Positano Songs. But a little background on that. I'm kind of curious because you were a fixture in the Bay Area, Palo Alto, and where was your studio in Windham Hill? Where did that get based when it started?
Well, we never had a recording studio during the days of Windham Hill. We started out working at I guess my first recordings were done up at Mantra Studios in San Mateo on El Camino Real, and we did a few there. I think it was me and Degrassi. Mm-hmm. And then I think about the time that we got to, we did an album of Eric Satie piano solos with Bill Quist, and we recorded that at the Music Annex in Menlo Park with Harn Soper.
Uh-huh.
And that became our home studio for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. And then we branched out and started working in Boston and L.A. and so on. But it wasn't until I had sold Windham Hill and moved to Windham County here in Vermont and built my dream studio with absolutely everything the way I wanted it, and did all the building myself again. And you know, that's where I'm working now.
So what does it take to build a dream studio, Will?
Well, ignored the two major things that are involved in building studios. One, you don't have natural light and you don't have fresh air. So I was like, no, we're in the country. Every now and again, a bird might make a noise, but you know, we can live with that. And what we're going to do is have a lot of light and windows and fresh air and have it be healthy. So that was one of the first things. It's an odd situation in that I can't imagine that there are two places where it's like this. But you know, again, my first company was Windham Hill Builders General Contracting, and I built the thing. But immediately downstairs from the studio is where the wood shop is. So we've got all these, you know, noisy machines, the table saws and the chop saws and the routers and the, you know, drill press and the, you know, the, everything else. So it's a rare thing, I think, where you have a recording studio immediately adjacent to a wood shop. But that's the way it is.
Now, you know, you've been through the whole digital thing. When you're building a studio, it's pretty much different. Of course, now you have to have your computer and your setup. Do you use Pro Tools? What do you use for your work in mixing?
Yeah, it is pretty much Pro Tools. Although, to be honest with you, I've almost purposely remained as ignorant as I possibly can be about the technology. I've got enough on my plate without having to get into that. And what you need to do is find a guy named Tom Eaton, who is the best engineer you've ever worked with, who's an absolute genius, and you know, go into partnership with him. So anything technological, you talk to Tom, and he's also a guy, you know, a musician, as I'm sure you know as well, and has a wonderful heart for music. He and I now communicate, you know, when we're recording with, you know, just sounds, and we know what each other are saying to each other, and you know, it's just wonderfully instinctual and just tremendous fun. I've never had more fun in the studio until I partnered up with Tom. He's also just given me another lease on life of staying in the business that I love doing. Some of that can be really, you know, just a lot of hard work and technology and the rest of it, and I just don't care for that. Well, Tom has a heart. He hears music, but he also is just the best engineer I've ever worked with in my life. I mean, and you know, he'll spend hours setting the microphones. By the way, we use insane microphone setups. I mean, everybody in the world, you know, hears two microphones on a piano. Yeah. We very often are using nine. I think we've used as many as 11. Yeah, and sometimes as many as 11. And to set microphones without doing what's called phase cancellation, where when two microphones start fighting for the same information, they both just say, to hell with it, we're out of here.
Mm-hmm.
But we managed to get sounds out of the piano with this miking. where we can move inside and out of the piano, just close. And it's something that's done really subtly in the mix. It's not as if, you know, there's a lot of fireworks going off and people are, you know, wondering what the hell happened. But there's an awful lot that goes on in terms of mixing even a solo piano record. And the notion of mixing a solo piano record would be a joke to most people, but for us it's not a joke at all.
I'm trying to imagine nine microphones. What kind of microphones do you use, Will?
Well, that was when I was really, really rich after selling Windham Hill. I ended up buying a number of sequential numbered old Neumann microphones were then rebuilt by Klaus Heine at German Masterworks. So we have some, you know, for all of those who are looking for some place to rob, actually I'm lying about all this, so don't come and rob my studio. But they're very, very rare to find a matched pair. I mean, these two were manufactured right next to each other.
Wow.
It was 1,407, 1,408. So exactly the same materials and the rest of it. So that match pair is a big deal to us.
And very expensive. Very, very new. They're about the most, aren't they? Almost the most expensive microphones you can get.
I can say without a doubt that, yes, finding matched pairs of vintage Neumann 67s, 47s, and 256s, they could be collector's items, but we use them.
How cool is that? Well, the thing is that's so interesting is, okay, you went through this whole thing and you did Flow, and I love Flow. I love the musicians in Flow. I know that some of the musicians in Flow, it was beautiful. Flow is, was it two albums or two or three?
Yeah, two.
No, we
did two, yeah.
And they were lovely, but what's exciting, I mean, I got thrilled because now you have Positano. And I listen to it, and I love it. And I just have to say, I happen to love Positano. I've been there twice, and I just fell in love with it. I was there in the summer, and I was there in the winter. I stayed at La Sarus. Remember the one that's right on the ocean there, the hotel?
You stayed
Seahorse.
In Siracusa?
Yeah, the Seahorse, the one that's the Seahorse.
Oh, yeah, no, Siracusa. That's an incredibly elegant hotel. Good for you.
Beautiful views. They had the big rooms and the great food and very different in the winter than in the summer, I have to say. But it's not a big town. I mean, really, it's just all on the hills. If people have never been there, I mean, almost every European knows about Positano. But, I mean, it's all built up on the hills. So you walk through. I was told, have you heard the story that it was built with the money from a lot of the mafia's kids went to school there and that they had all the money in the world?
I've heard the rumor. I don't know. One of my closest friends in the world, Carmine Pallone, his family's been there forever, and he thinks that's a lot of crap. But who knows?
Yeah. Well, it is very, very elegant, and truthfully, there's not a lot of beach. I mean, but it's very special, and it's the hills and the views and things built on the rocks, and you go on the other side of the road, which is so small that the buses can't get in, right? Unless they widened it since I was there, the tourist buses couldn't get in when I was there last.
Well, you know, it's a big deal when they do come in, and it screws up everything downtown for about an hour. But it does happen. Most of them are parking up on the main road above town, and then use smaller vehicles to get them down to the beach and that sort of thing.
So, when did you go there first? Was it 2015 or was it before?
Oh God, no! I've been going there for 25
years. Oh gosh. So you, well, then you've seen
no,
the change.
I mean, I saw it when it was really a quiet little town. I mean, it almost confronts me at this point because of how busy it is. I mean, and it used to be that it was really busy in August, and then it was September and August, and and now I guess partly because of climate change, but just because they can, I think they're pretty well busy through everything except December, January, February. It's just gotten so crazy. And it kind of confronts me because I've been there long enough so that, some of the charm is gone for me. And I know so many people there. I mean, I can walk up and down the stairs there and see, just getting down to the beach, I'll see 20 people that I know. And when I'm first there, I'm getting hugs and people are saying hi and the rest of it. But I've seen the mood of the town change a bit because people are overworked. And it's hard to say no to, you know, wonderful income from tourists who know they're going to be spending a lot of money and don't have any problem spending a lot of money. But, you know, I see a fatigue in the people that I know and really love. I consider, you know, Tom Eaton, my engineer and partner and the rest of me, he and I are the dearest of friends. But my friend Carmine and I go way the hell back, and I can see it in him that, you know, it's just the pressure constantly now. I think anybody going there would absolutely love it, but again, I can't help but remember days that were, you know, quieter, simpler, maybe a bit more innocent.
Yeah, it was interesting because, of course, you talk about going up and down the steps, because across the small road, and again, I haven't been there maybe in, I don't know, 15 years, maybe 20, but you go up those stairs, and you're talking about a hike. I mean, those stairs are steep and they go way up, and but the cool thing about it is I remember there'd be little shops, you know, where people would be. I got this beautiful hand woven jacket, you know, in one of the shops where the doors were open going up the stairs, and people just be there, doors be open, you just go up the steps, and it was like you went into another world, really, kind of, as you go up the steps and around and up to the top, and the views, I mean, amazing, and this was not where a road was, this is just the steps that go up, right?
That's how people move in the town. It's all about steps, and it's, if I'm at Fornillo Beach, it's exactly 318 steps from Fornillo Beach to the front door of the Russo's apartment where I stay.
Oh, so you're up at the top?
No, you can go a lot farther than that. Oh. You know, do you know where Hotel Poseidon is?
Yes. Yeah.
We're right next to Hotel Poseidon. The picture that is on my record, the color photo of Positano, taken by a guy named Inge Johansson. I just happened to see it online. But the reason I gravitated to that picture is because it was exactly the view from the Russo's apartment where I did the writing. And I actually said, okay, and I started thinking about it. I was like, okay, how the hell? And I asked him, I said, did you stay at the Russo's apartment? And he said, no, I don't know the Russo's or anything. And I was sitting there quiet, and I thought for a while. I said, you were in Hotel Poseidon on the second floor, end of the hall, which is room 14. And he said, exactly. I said, okay, that explains it. That's why I love that photo, is because that's the one I see and the one that I was looking at as I was writing.
Well, just I'll try to play a little of it behind here, because, I mean, some people listening just might think it's like a typical Italian music CD. It's not. What it is you're capturing the feeling of your soul. It seems to me like the feeling of your soul when you're in Positano.
I mean, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just it has that interesting peace and reflections and the feeling of this kind of vision that you're getting in Positano. That's very special. Some of it, I almost feel like. Some of it's even the feeling you get at night when you look out at the lights, which are magical when you look out at the nights, right?
Oh, sure.
At the lights all out on the hills going straight up are pretty amazing, aren't they?
Oh, God, yeah. It's just so romantic.
Yeah. And so you, what you have here, Will, it's so interesting, is you have this beautiful feeling, and part of it is because you got married there. I think some of that's possibly reflected in the music as well.
Well, I, you know, it says a lot about how much the place means to me, and Susan, for that matter. It's just a very, very special place for us, and part of it is because of the people, and not that we know everyone by name, but here's a kind of a neat story. It's just one I remembered a couple of days ago. There's a little bodega, you know, a little deli that's just up between the Russo's, you know, the street where the Russo's is and Poseidon. And, you know, we know the people in there very, very well. And I was there with Susan, my wife, And we were getting the cold shoulder from everybody in the store. And it's like, what, you know, did we not pay a bill sometime? You know, what's going on? Because normally it's like they come from behind the counter and we get hugs and, you know, here's a free lunch and here, have a bottle of Prosecco and, you know, kind of thing. And we were not getting that at all. And the daughter of this family, we were walking up the road, actually, I think going to Da Vincenzo for dinner, and she was walking down, and I was seeing, once again, this kind of hostile thing, and then suddenly, her face just lit up, and she just had a smile that was bigger than her face, and then she was hugging us, and she said, I you see, Susan had always had this down, you know, long, dark hair down to her ass, and now she's got this cropped, you know, blonde thing that, that's her stick. And they thought that I'd run off with some new chick.
Oh, no.
And they were being so defensive. They were defending Susan, and they were on Susan's side. You know, who is it? And, it was just, but you know, that it mattered so much to them that they cared about me and Susan so much that it really brought about anger in them. I thought it was really, really lovely. Isn't that a great story?
It's a wonderful story, and it's almost like you get in any little town, right? That you, if you live there, that's what you get in a small town in Italy, right? You get that same kind of feeling.
You know, I know, even if I don't know everybody's name, I mean, you go down to the beach and underneath, you know, Bacca di Bucco, you know, you go down and get the ice cream, and I don't even have to. I'm a creature of habit, I have to admit, in terms of food. You know, the guy, you know, I haven't seen him for 3 years. He looks at me, he smiles, he gives me the ice cream cone that I always order, and you know, I don't even have to do it. You know, but isn't that beautiful that you're, and it can't be that they, you know, you're some kind of ass. They don't, you know, but they know they like you, they remember you, and they know what this guy. And how many ice cream cones has he done in the last 3 years?
But you were there. You were there for. About a month, right? I mean, you're not just there for a weekend. I mean, you are staying there.
Oh, no, yeah. True. No, when we're there, we're there. There's no question about it. But I really feel that it is, a second home. With so many dear people. And yes, you know, getting married up in Nocella at the chapel up there. It's a special place in large part because we are known and we know people and it's a special place. It's still, if you can get into that, it is still a small town. I mean, its heart is still a small town. Its pocketbook is bigger, but the heart is still small.
Well, I'm playing right now a song that you wrote called Our Wedding Song, which you have some lovely violin on and cello as well, and which is lovely. What was it like? Everything is kind of smaller there because, you know, that's Italy in the small towns. The chapel was probably pretty small too. What was it like getting married in that small chapel?
It was just me and Susan and her dear friend Mark, who had come from New York City, and Carmine and his wife, and that was it. I mean, it was just, except as the liner note says, there, one of the things that happens is that the grandmothers of the town in Nocella, they hear the church bells going and it's not Sunday and they know it's a wedding. And so all the old nonas come and sit and watch all the, you know, part of the wedding. So we had all these wonderful old grandmothers that are there weeping for us. You know, they're so happy. So that was it for the wedding. But it was, you know, Mark and Carmine and Pina and, you know, just our closest friends.
So when you do a project like this, and it's so close to your heart, obviously you have this deep love for Positano. You have this very much tied in with the idea of your wedding and everything. Sometimes when something's very close to your heart, it takes even more work because it means so much to you. It's not the same as just doing something objectively as you would a project for someone else. Did you find yourself caring so much you put a lot of extra time into this one?
I think that's safe to be said. Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't think I've ever been lazy or, you know, said, ah, hell, that's good enough kind of thing. But I think I put a pretty high bar on it. Whether anybody can tell the difference between that and any other record of mine, I don't know. I can't. I mean, I haven't had enough feedback to find that out. But in a way, it doesn't matter, because what matters is that I feel that I have done what I'm supposed to do, that it's honest, that I'm speaking, you know, a musical truth. And if that sounds pretentious, forgive me, but I actually think that way.
No, I listened to the whole album, and I loved the whole thing. I added it to the station I do at KUOS. Every song is just so beautiful. And you know what's interesting? When you do an album that means a lot, I believe, on something like this, you don't ever get tired of it. I mean, a lot of these tunes are going to be, you know, ageless. You know, they'll never go out of style or be popular. They're just something that people will live with, right?
I hope so, and I think that is true. I mean, instrumental music is a big metaphor, really. I mean, lyrics, I obviously love lyric music as well, but instrumental music is a big, big metaphor, a lot of room for people to invest their own hearts and their own stories into those. And I receive, you know, hundreds, if not thousands, of emails. It used to be letters, but now emails, people talking about how my song, you know, whatever one of those, and you know, that touched them in this way and reminded them of this, and sometimes, you know, the heartbreaking and beautiful ones, you know, the ones where our child was born listening to your music, or we were married to your music, in some ways, I think the most beautiful of all, you know, is that someone who they loved had chosen to listen to my music as they left the earth.
Yes.
You know, and I can't, I'm choking up just thinking about that, but yeah. That's what they chose to listen as they left this earth. And I can't imagine anything that could be more meaningful or more beautiful, and I can't imagine anything that could make me feel more grateful than if my music has done that for somebody, then, you know, it hasn't been a waste.
Well, you are, you play the Taylor guitar, considered to be one of the finest. I guess you have a special Taylor guitar you love and use. Do you use just one guitar throughout the whole thing to give it a similar sound, or do you use various guitars on different pieces?
Well, actually, the Taylor guitars, the story of that is that, I didn't want to bring all of my instruments. You go from one climate to another, different humidity, the rest of it. So I didn't bring my guitars from the States. But Bob Taylor of Taylor Guitars, bless his heart, I called him and said, is there any way you think you could help me with, you know, getting some instruments to write on? And he had this van come down from Rome with a pile of beautiful guitars. They'd set it up for me. They knew I wanted light gauge strings. They did all the fretting. They did, you know, everything on the bridge work and everything else, so that I had this collection of really lovely guitars. So I'm incredibly grateful to Bob Taylor.
What a
but
nice gift.
The recording itself was done once again and forever, as long as I'm alive, using a Froggy Bottom guitar by Michael Millard, what used to be called the K model, but now is he actually makes a Will Ackerman signature model of that guitar. That, and then the parlor guitar, the small, tiny little guitar that Michael Hedges gave me many, many years ago. And then over the years, I've gotten to be, the one thing that has really evolved for me as a guitarist is that I've learned to be a lead player. Mostly this is because I've been able to do that for other records, other people, mostly people that I'm producing. And, you know, I say, you know, I do hear a lead here. Do you want to hear what that might be? So I've gotten fairly facile at that, and most of that is done on my big jumbo Steve Klein guitar. So, you know, Froggy Bottom is still the main thing, but I'm using the parlor guitar for a different sonority, and then for the leads, because you don't want to have the lead guitar being the same as the one you're doing the basic track on, because they won't stand out away from each other. Uh-huh. They won't have their own sonority. So using another instrument, in this case the Steve Klein guitar, is what I always do.
Well, it's truly a masterpiece, Will, and I mean, you can tell it's a labor of love. I mean, it just, every song has that feeling that makes you feel good too. You know, it's so music can really help, and especially in these stressful times, to have a lovely piece like this. Is this out, and is it on your website, or what's the best place to get it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's no such thing as stores anymore. But you know, there, you know, you can stream, you can download. The CDs, if people want to buy a CD, they can just go to williamackerman.com and we'll be there. That's any way you want to do it.
I still like CDs. Even better, maybe going back to the albums. I'm old school, though, you know. It took me a long time to get into CDs, and now those are going to go back to albums, so who knows.
Yeah, well, we are going to press the you know, the LP version of this too. The backlog is enormous.
I heard that. Yeah,
you know, there's such a resurgence of interest in LPs, but I'm on the list, and we will be bringing out an LP. I'm hoping within the next 3 months or so.
Well, what a gift it is, and I'm so glad you got inspired to do a lovely album. Positano is the name of it. Positano Songs. WilliamAckerman.com. Amazing volume of beautiful music, and this one, the first of yours in a long time, and just absolutely so lovely. I highly recommend it, and I'm so glad you're doing that. And keep doing what you're doing. Well, you do great work, and it's an inspiration.
Well, thanks so much. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate you too. Aloha.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. And I want to thank our sponsors.